Any of y'all got more than one kid? Anybody ever had some of that going on a little bit? Or maybe with your own siblings? She said, Lord, why am I like this?
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 5th, 2020, and is titled Birthright, and is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis 25, and let's join Steve in the message.
And the Lord said to her, you see, when I stepped up here at the first of the service, and I said I was preaching the other day, and I heard the Lord. You know, about, I don't get hardly any rebukes. For a guy that tries to pick a fight every week with thousands of people, there's no takers. You know when they'll come after you a little bit? When they hear you publicly say you've heard the Lord. Just because you're tone deaf to God, which may be your own spiritual demise, I won't say, but you can leave me alone. Because even a pregnant lady with a bellyache can stop in the middle of the day and say, God, what in the heck is going on? You reckon any time the last 6 months, somebody that knows Jesus has stopped and said, what in the heck is going on? Did you get any answers? I have. Why we've been really busy. Why we're really tired. Because we've been getting answers. Because what we're going through right now is very, very important. What Rebecca's going through now, very, very important. So the Lord speaks to it. Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve the younger. So now she's heard from God, and he told it opposite of the traditions of men. You see, it's always the older that receives the inheritance. It's always the older that receives the birthright. It's the older son who takes the authority, and that's been the tradition now for a long, long time. And she's a pregnant lady with a bellyache, and somewhere in here she's going to have to figure this out. Apparently she never does tell Isaac. We'll probably get into that story a little more next week, but she never tells Isaac. Why? I bet he's not going to believe it. When do you picture this? She'll walk back in the house, rubbing her old belly. Hey, Slick, something's going on in here, and I'm telling you, it's torturous now. These two need a whooping, and I can't get my hands on them. But while I was out there, waddling around, I asked God, and he said that I got two nations in here, and when they come out, one's going to be stronger than the other, and the older is going to serve the younger. How do you think Isaac would listen, woman? You've been eating too much ice cream again. What's the matter with you? God didn't say that. That's not right. That's not normal. That's not how men operate. That's not how the traditions go. Come on, I'm talking good now. Yeah. He's speaking prophetically to the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a birthright issue. Birthright issues are generational issues. Without the birthright, you have no access to anything. It's very important. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. First one came out, he was red and was hairy. They named him Esau. After that came out his brother. He had a hold of Esau's foot. They called him Jacob. So then verse 27, the boys grew. Esau was a skillful hunter, and Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. See, Rebekah had heard the promise from the Lord herself. The older will serve the younger. We get to it next week. Y'all want to come back tomorrow and do it again? Just joking. Next week we'll talk about it a little bit. And you know, it sure appears that Rebekah took things in her own hands and kind of finagled some things around later on. But listen, right here, this is a big time in history. Because these two boys grow up. Esau, he's out hunting and killing game. His dad likes it. Man, he can have fresh turkey, fresh quail, fresh venison, whatever. You know, I mean, he's got this young man who's going outside and doing it. And we got this other one kind of hanging around there in the house in the kitchen. Now, in today's standards, I don't know. He may be the most popular group. There was a time. But he's the child of the promise. He's the one that's going to receive the birthright. And right here, out of self and inward thinking, short-term pleasure, short-term gratification, doesn't appear to have a care about anything that's going on around him, anything going to happen tomorrow. We set the stage for the birthright. Listen to this. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with some of that, with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom, which means red. He is the father of the Edomites. If you follow the trail of the Edomites, enemies against the children of Jacob, enemies against Israel, time and time again, and it goes on and on. And in fact, Esau eventually goes and marries one of the daughters of Ishmael. Now you talk about a sold out birthright with a prophecy that kind of exiled a young man away from the promise of God, really. Gave him a nation, gave him piece of land. He moves off over there, and then all of a sudden here comes this jealous little brother of Jacob, and he's ticked off, been ticked off the whole time. And now here you got this whole group of people that's got all a root of that. Does any of that sound familiar? Have you heard of anybody in the earth that does not have your birthright that wants to steal your blessing? Is there anybody in the earth that wants to muck Israel off the planet? Is there anybody in the earth that wants to muck Christians off the planet because they stand with Israel? Okay, rest my case. So now, Esau's hungry. But Jacob, he said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die." So apparently Esau's a drama queen. He ain't about to die, or you wouldn't ask for soup. You'd ask for a steak. I mean, really. Well, he said, "I'm about to die. What is this birthright to me?" Listen to that very close. Underline that in your Bible. "What is this birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and stew, lentils. Then he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised, neglected, turned away from his birthright. Birthright, according to Merriam-Webster, is a right, a privilege or possession to which a person is entitled by birth, a right, a privilege, or possession that you've been entitled by birth. How many of y'all were born in America? Oh, how many of y'all consider yourselves American citizens? One nation under God, we get all the stuff. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and have been endowed by their Creator for these certain inalienable rights, of which are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. God-given rights. You see, your rights as Americans are God-given rights. You see, you don't have to be a Christian in America to live under the rights of God, because even God reigns on the just and the unjust. That's how nations operate. But the key word in that definition is the word entitled. Entitled by birth. Robin didn't see it when I came out. I was working on this a little bit this afternoon, and Casey and the boys, we'd been leveling, doing stuff all day, and got in a while ago, and Casey and the boys were over at our house swimming. So while I was working on all this birthright stuff, I'd run outside to catch her before she left and called her on the phone. And I said, sweetie, bear with me for a minute. I'm going to use you in a message tonight. I said, who told you you'd come over here and go swimming today? Well, I don't know, Dad. I said, why did you think that you could park your car in my driveway, walk through my gate, and get in that swimming pool, and everything's going to be fine, everything's good? She said, because I'm your daughter. And I said, that's exactly right. You have a birthright. I said, how do you think it would go for somebody if I drove up here in the middle of the afternoon, some Jake Legg lived down the road from me, and I'd only seen him driving by a few times in his car, and he's on a floaty out there in his shorts with his big belly and hairy chest, and he's out there floating around. How do you think it's going to go for that guy when I get there? If I don't drown him in my own swimming pool, I'm going to drag him out like a big bass and throw him out the yard. He had no right to be there. You see, my daughter is entitled to be there. I've given her permission to be there. I've blessed her with it. What's mine is theirs, whatever they need, as long as you don't despise me, you're fine. You treat me like donkey do, and this deal we may rethink our agreement. But as long as you don't despise me, what's mine is yours. It's a birthright. Your mother and I, we worked for it. We paid for it just like we did you. But if you're some Jake Lake driving down the road, here's your neighbor got a swimming pool, and you decide to go float around there like Moby Dick upside down, I'm not going to do it. You're out of here. You don't get to come to my house and just tromp around. You don't have a right to be here. And you're not entitled. But all of a sudden in America, those who have a birthright and a responsibility, because that's the other side of it. I asked Casey, I said, is there anything goes with you guys swimming? And it'll probably help her a little bit in days to come. Do you kind of need to pick your junk up? Kind of need to tend to things. You just leave everything in a shambles. You just come jump in the water, get dry, get wet, get dry, throw your towels in a pile, do all your stuff, or do you kind of have to tend to things? Because you have, with the birthright, you have a responsibility to take care of stuff. And if you bring the next generation over here to swim with you, you got to kind of teach them how to act while you're here. They can't just be a herd of little heathens running around over here. And it's your job to make sure they tend to my stuff, because that's your birthright. Is that making any sense to anybody? And so here in America, we wake up. You get born into the earth. The doctor turns you upside down, slaps you on the hind end. And the next thing, you're entitled. Entitled to what? Entitled to the benefits of the greatest country known to man. And that comes with great responsibility to make sure that when we leave this spot that we've gained a birthright to, that we didn't just leave our wet towels in a pile and all our potato chip sacks and our little juice bottles and everything laying in the top to the swimming pools blowed over in the neighbor's yard. And you can't do that. That's exactly what we've done, haven't we? Our birthright for this country came from our Father in heaven. And we've totally forgot about him while we were here. When my daughter and grandsons are swimming in our swimming pool, they're not floating around thinking about being in somebody else's swimming pool. Listen to me now. You can't live your Christian life in this country according to your birthright the whole time thinking you need to be somewhere else. You're here. This is the promise. The birthright that he talked about to Jacob, that birthright they traded for, that's a land called Canaan that would eventually become Israel. It's a piece of real estate. We have a piece of real estate that when I was born here, I became a citizen. If you're not born here, then you have to be adopted by the country. So that means you go through the process, you assimilate to the culture, and you become part of the family. If you want to come swim in our swimming pool here, the whole time you're daydreaming about that swimming pool, that cesspool that you were swimming in back there, you should have stayed home and cleaned up your own cesspool. Don't come over here and want the benefits of my birthright, all the self-gratification, the instant gratification, all the things like, don't come over here and be entitled when you should have been tending to your birthright somewhere else. And if you want to be adopted in, then be adopted in. We got ways to do that, and everybody's all for it. All for it. You know, if you preach like that, people will call you a racist. I didn't say anything about what color you was. I just said you're going to come over here and make a mess out of my swimming pool. I'm not racist. I'm an American. And I have a birthright. God-given. Guess what else? I have all the God-given rights because I've been adopted. You see, I wasn't born a Jew. I wasn't born into the original covenant of God. But he accepted me. And I accepted the challenge to change. And he gave me a birthright by marking me with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, my entitlement is not what I can have for nothing. Listen to this, Christians, because for a long time we've been rubbing that Jesus genie bottle. And there's not one. I'm not entitled, but all things are accessible. Nothing's been held out. Nothing's left out. All things have been given me necessary for life and godliness. That word entitlement doesn't mean you get something for nothing. You see, we've done that with salvation. It's the free gift of God, not by works that any man may boast. It's the free gift of salvation. And that's it. So lay down your life and take up your cross. That doesn't count. Die to yourself so you can be raised new life. That doesn't count. A distinction made in Malachi 4 between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who do not, that doesn't count. We're not begging to be accepted by Jesus. We just mildly accept him. Who wouldn't accept Jesus? He's perfect. I should beg for my acceptance. With a gratitude that says, Lord, I'll serve you from now on. And with an understanding that you can serve a king that's Lord of your life. And apart from that, there is no salvation. So you see, actually, your salvation costs you everything. Costs you everything. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But when that happens to a man, now you got to live it. This is not an easy bloodline because our birthright says that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for the souls around us. We have a responsibility for the minds of the generations. We have a responsibility for a covenant with a whole nation. How many of y'all grew up in a church that quoted Matthew 28 every week? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever heard that one before? I want you to tell me the last time an individual made a disciple of a whole nation. Nations disciple nations. And this one is to be a shining city on a hill. This one's supposed to be a lantern with the lampstand, with the lampshade off. This one's supposed to be salt of the earth. This one's supposed to project the kingdom of God. We're the ones that the whole world calls Christian nation because everybody believes that's our birthright, and we've been acting like we're swimming in somebody else's swimming pool. Just leave the towels, leave the junk, leave your trash. We live here like we don't belong here, or we live here like we're entitled to things we haven't earned. We do the same thing as Christians. You name me one reason God should do anything for us. That amazing love of God says that He will anyhow. He's not obligated to it. Not like we've earned this great reward because we've had such stellar performance in the last 7, 8, or 10, or 12 decades. Our birthright. But guess what happens when we begin to understand our birthright? We gain access. That entitlement, so to speak, of all the benefits of God. Promise of life. The promise of Abraham. Family, generations, a land, place to live. Healing. Restoration. Reconciliation. Forgiveness. Empowerment. Insight. Revelation. All these benefits of the kingdom of God only come to those who have the birthright. I ask you today, in America, did we wake up one day and say, God, we like you, and we like the idea of heaven, and sometimes we even like going to church and hanging around singing about you and talking about you. But God, right now, I just don't have time to worry about anything else but me. I want some of that stew. I want some of that money. I want some of that stuff. I want some notoriety. I don't want to take y'all down my list in my journey through life. We'd be here till 4 a.m. What part did I trade? That God, I don't even care about understanding birthright. I don't care about understanding covenant. I prayed the prayer. I blowed the snot. I'm going to heaven. Everything's good. Now I'm going to tend to me. Why would I worry about anybody else? Turn in your Bibles over to 2 Kings 20. It's where my little buddy Leonard. He really helped me out tonight. We got talking up there. It's a good story. Hezekiah gets real sick. And in 2 Kings 20, verse 1, in those days Hezekiah was sick near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." That's the good news of the day, ain't it? You laying there sick, and the prophet comes by and says, "Hey, you know, before you croak, you ought to get your stuff together, because don't look like you're going to make it very long there, boy. I'll see you. I'll come check on you tomorrow." But listen to what Hezekiah did. Then he turned his face towards the wall.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Birthright. And as always, we invite you to come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.